You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
I gotta give a huge, major shout out to Etten Buttle. Etten Buttle just did our show recently. And in the episode that I announced that I'm going to be playing in TST, I sort of teased about like, oh, Etten, you're going to be my coach or whatever. Thinking like, ha, ha, ha.
You're right.
Chuckles, laugh, laugh, laugh.
He'd call you and be like, you know, just have a little fun out there. That's the best training I can give you.
Okay. The Mahomes treatment. Yeah, you know what I mean? But no, Etten Buttle follow through on his promise, and just the other day,
I did see this.
I got to train with Etten Buttle at this field in like Westchester, and this was one of the dopest experiences I've ever had. I've never had a one-on-one coach. I didn't grow up playing soccer. Mm-hmm. Okay, I barely had a father figure. Okay,
okay.
And Etten Buttle took the time.
Taught you how to play catch, how to shave.
Okay. All right.
Christian's like, hey, thanks for that, Edson. Thanks for that tip. I mean, Ed Dad.
Dad. He taught me how to talk to girls.
Damn.
All right.
Edson was. He's like, yo, your wrist game weak. You're not my son.
But I was I've been training a lot and getting ready for TST and going through all the drills and all the lessons. Just an hour lesson with Etten Buttle, I learned more about this game than I ever thought I ever would. It was remarkable. I mean, he is a coach. If you're looking for a coach, an academy coach or whatever, Etten Buttle is your guy.
A first team coach.
Exactly. It was unbelievable. So shout out to Etten Buttle. Right now we're looking at some of my training clips. All right.
Okay.
I gotta get the YouTube highlight with the bap music. Techno. All right, because it's bound to happen.
Hey, Christian, what school is that where you did the training?
That's a good question. This was in Rye.
Dude, I think that was where I went to high school. Like, I'm not even kidding. I'm pretty sure that was, Blind Brook High School. Yeah, that's where I went to high school.
Wow. Super random, bro.
Totally doxing myself. But it's worth it. I recognize that field. That's where I played in high school.
After this, we went and visited Mike's family. Okay.
Yeah.
We had breakfast.
Yeah. I remember we were like, hey, we were just where Mike fingered a girl for the first time.
Memories. We went under the bleachers, like, wow.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have you been, Mom?
Okay. What's this plaque?
It's gonna be crazy because my mom
there.
It's going to be crazy when my mom listens to this episode.
To commemorate.
They put the splash zone. They marked the splash
zone. Oh, my God.
Anyway. Oh
my he's God. Just too good. You know?
So shout out to Etten Buttle. This was, again, super, super cool. And I can't be any more thankful. This was literally one of I told him, I was like, I feel like I'm Make-A-Wish kid. I'm like, I better make sure I don't have a terminal disease because this is unbelievable.
It is kind of like a dream scenario, like something you win at one of these auctions, you know, the fundraiser auctions, get one-on-one training with Etten Buttle, you know?
This is amazing. I feel, and we're going to train a little bit more. He said he's happy to do that for a couple more sessions before TST on June 5th, which is coming up.
What did he think about your game? Did he say anything about the state of your game?
The one thing he said was he was impressed with how, he said he liked my first touch. He said, like, for someone who didn't grow up playing, like, he was like, you kind of got that down. He said my passing was decent, right? Where I was like able to take a good first touch and position myself well. I was doing this drill where we had to take a first touch and then kind of go through these cones and then pass it into a small goal. And I only out of like I think I took like eight shots and I only missed one. So he was pretty impressed with that. I did ask, I'm like, well, where do you think I belong on the field? What position? Because I tell him, I'm like, I usually play like more of a center mid or kind of a defensive mid. And he's like, oh, I see you as a fullback. You're a fullback. Yeah,
yeah. Well, right, he's fullback. Like, let me just Google which position touches the ball. I'll get right back
but
to
the
you.
One thing, the one drill that I worked on was finishing drills, and obviously he was a striker, and that was the moment where I'm like, because he was like, okay, this is what you do, and he was showing me what the what the drill should look like, and he was just rocketing the ball to far post, side netting literally every single time wanted, like not even blinking at the
it makes that Bundesliga cling cling sound. You're like, damn,
every single, I was just like, this is what you notice, obviously working with a professional athlete, is just the consistency and the specifics to every detail of the game. I was, especially in striking the ball and finishing, I was just like, this is crazy, bro. Like you just see where I'm at in Sunday league, right, in my co-ed Sunday league, yeah, versus a professional athlete is just astronomical. The
leaps
gap
and bounds.
So, but it was a really, really dope experience. So yeah, I'm hyped for TST. So
shouts to Edson Buttle for volunteering his time.
Exactly. This is charity, bro.
Yeah, facts.
Amazing work.
Now you got to get on a pitch for TST.
I'm going to do my best to get as many minutes as possible, okay?
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero. You already know.
We got a hot show today because we're joined by Zealand Shannon, YouTuber extraordinaire, co-host with Julian Gressel on the Player Manager podcast. And we'll talk all about his YouTube career and football.
Twitch streaming
football manager for all you football manager sickos.
Yeah, dude.
We'll get into
all
it.
All them FM heads.
Okay. What, you listen to radio? I'm an AM
fan. AM guy. I'm an MF head, bro.
Okay. Anyway, so he'll join us in a little bit, but we got to start today's show. What are we talking about, Miguelito?
Yes, we're talking Championship Sunday, obviously, in Germany and the Premier League. You know, we can talk about the Premier League title race a little bit if you guys want, but I think it's kind of a condolences, Alexis, obviously, first of all, to the Arsenal. But
give condolences to him. He lost. I won. Yeah, we just didn't win enough. Mm.
Exactly. But we had two pretty impressive championships this season. Like I said, in England, Germany, Man City won the Premier League for the fourth time in the row. Bayer Leverkusen going undefeated, unbeaten, even winning the Bundesliga title. Which of those two accomplishments do you guys think is more impressive, though?
This is this is interesting because no one's ever gone unbeaten in Bundesliga. We know that it's pretty remarkable. And Manchester City winning four Premier League titles in a row,
that's
is
huge.
Also never been done either. It is without the like. Look, I know, because I know some of the comments are going to be like 115 charges and blah blah blah.
You kind of have to. The asterisk is there, but can we talk about it?
Yeah,
on the
like
football
they did
only?
It. They did do it on the pitch. I understand the accusations and the claims, and maybe they're valid, maybe they're not. I do not know, but on footballing merit, the players themselves had to win those four titles in a row,
right?
And it wasn't given to them. But the fact that they were able to do that four times in a row versus what Bayer Leverkusen has done with, much less resources than not only other Bundesliga clubs, but of course comparatively to a club like Manchester City, it sort of feels like if Bayer Leverkusen can win the Europa League final and also win the DFB Pokal. Mm-hmm. I would kind of argue that what Bayer Leverkusen has done is much more impressive than winning four Premier League titles in a row, because it feels almost to not lose at all across all these competitions, not even in a two-leg ties with in Europa League and stuff like that. It's almost unbelievable. I don't see that ever happening again, but I can sort of picture somebody winning four Premier League titles in a row.
Right. And I think we also, and what I was looking up before is just, you kind of, when we talk about these things, we have to talk about it in some type of context. I know they play in two different leagues, right? But the job that Xavi Alonso has done is incredible. The job Pep Guardiola has done is incredible. But let's talk about the accomplishments of the players on the pitch, and the players are important in this, right? Because you go out and you acquire these assets to play a certain style and to win trophies, and they've both done that this season. But I'll just give you an idea. This is based on simple Google search. I don't know if you know Google has this little AI overview thing.
Yeah,
so I'm simply going on that.
Mm-hmm.
Bayer Leverkusen's 2023-2024 wage bill is, what would you guess, per week?
Per week? It has to be in the, I don't know, 12 million?
No, per week is actually 1.2 million.
Oh, okay.
1.2 million euros. Now, what would you guess Manchester City's
is? Is that 12? That
seems... well, this thing says 3 million pounds.
I don't know how much these teams are making. Yeah. Playing, like, the
what, this sounds suspect. Off? This is suspect.
Yeah. This feels like a lot less than what I've expected. But again, this is just simply the, using the AI overview.
Because don't some of these players make like 400,000 pounds a week?
Yeah, it says here on what is this? What is this? A Capology, which could mean they're lying. Yeah, right. Salary cap. It says 3.7 million pounds. And then maybe there's a way I could search for Bayer Leverkusen. The reason I'm bringing that up is because these are players that aren't. They didn't just go out and get the best players. They didn't win the league and the next year spend $100 million on Jack Grealish. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
They've had to make do with players that are young and have a lot of potential, like a Florian Wirtz and Ncapié and you know,
Frimpong.
Frimpong, who's incredible, but young and need a bit more development, a bit more, you know, tutelage, if you will, versus some of the players that Pep Guardiola have been able to go out and get, such as Erling Haaland and Jack Grealish. And, you know, again, you can Phil Foden is obviously developed there, but they're able, KDB, the best midfielder probably ever in the Premier League. So it's kind of hard for me to sit here and say, yeah, y'all won it four times, but you also have access to an incredible roster where Bayer Leverkusen did is unthinkable. You know, no one plays. I remember Leicester City, there was a guy who placed $1,000 bet at the beginning of the season that they win. Ain't nobody bet on Bayer Leverkusen, bro. I dare you to find me someone who has. You know, like that type of what they've been able to accomplish and to do undefeated across all seasons. I said pretty early on, if they go undefeated across all competitions, that I think supersedes what Arsenal even did. And I'm a massive Arsenal fan.
Right, right. It's almost unthinkable that they can do that at that. I mean, almost it's like if they were able to do it, like they're playing Europa League. If they were able to do it in Champions League, I mean, even that would be just mind blowing. But even just the fact that they have reached the level of like consistency and belief, and even in games, especially Europa League ties, that they did not need. They were already winning on aggregate. They did not need to win that particular fixture, and then they go for at least a draw. It's remarkable. It's just everything. It's like a miracle. The fact that they haven't dealt with a lot of injuries, they've managed to play the way they play.
But they've added a rotation. The one big injury for them would probably be what's my guy's name up top from Boniface.
Yeah,
Boniface gets injured, dude. You got Patrick Schick. You've got, you know, Florian Wirtz is still scoring goals. You found ways to score goals around Grimaldo. You found ways to score goals around your main striker being out. And, again, the way they play as a team, and everyone kind of has to play their role or else the whole thing collapses. You can't just go out there and have, like, one or two players of, like, go find your moment of brilliance.
I was watching the last game, the 34th match this weekend, and it was the goalkeeper, you saw the goalkeeper error that he passed it into. He just passed it into the defender and it bounced. It just like a great bounce, and he was able to lay it off and then for an easy goal. But it's even that. Like usually when a goalkeeper bounces it off a player, like it'll go out or it'll go. It rattled off him like three times and perfectly fell like to the at the penalty spot for him to lay it off for another player.
You'd rage quit if that happened to you.
It is. Yeah. It's like there's also luck. Luck has also been a huge factor for Bayer Leverkusen.
Right.
But
what is luck? Preparation and opportunity meeting.
Okay, Russell Wilson, let's go, bro. As far as Manchester City won. And
so, the reason I said that is I think Bayer Leverkusen is more important.
I agree as well.
More significant of a feat.
The acceptance as an Arsenal fan that, look, I mean, we were all sort of hoping for a different champion, but 2 minutes in, Phil Foden says, nah, fam.
He actually struck the ball at the 1:15.
Yeah, yeah. He literally was like, no, we're not getting, there's no dramatic ending to this story.
No, there's not going to be no Aguero moment for Arsenal.
No, because this is,
I kind of accepted it a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
I know I was having a conversation with some other Arsenal fans that work at CBS, and they're like, lost to Villa. It's like, I'll keep saying you shouldn't have to go undefeated in the second half of the season just to have any chance at winning the league. It's ridiculous. It's not normal. That's not what the league has ever been like, you know, and I understand that Manchester City's playing at a very high level, but, you know, they still didn't even play their best football, you know? Yeah. Erling Haaland has had a down season, and he's still the leading goal scorer in the league. It's like ridiculous. Like, well, I don't know how else to put it in. We should have a different title: the Manchester City title, and then the one for the rest of the league. Because it just doesn't make any sense the way it's falling apart. What I can say for Arsenal is the silver lining, and the reason why I don't ultimately feel all that bad. I mean, it's sad and it's upsetting, and then a couple hours later, the Knicks lose Game 7 at home. Brutal. So it was a brutal Sunday. Great Saturday though. Shout out to NYCFC. The reason why I don't walk away from that thinking like it's the end of the world is because the progress Arsenal have made over the last few seasons is insane. And they also have pieces they need. You know, they need a left back. They need a striker. They probably need another defensive midfielder. They probably need a backup center back that can play at the same quality, or at least deputize at the same level and I guess Yuri and Timber would be part of that. But a backup for Bukayo Saka, maybe a better left winger. Martinelli maybe kind of took a little bit of a step back this season. Things like that. Like, there's still pieces we need, and we still, you know, ended the season with 89 points, the best offensive team almost, and the best defensive team in the league. You know, great at set pieces. Like, there's so much promise. If we can just fill those spaces, Arsenal's going to be even better next season.
Right.
But also, City's only going to get better.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's
like, as good as Arsenal look, and they've looked amazing this year, City look better than that. And there's a chokehold that Manchester City has on just on the rest of the league.
Is it boring?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't think we're gonna have another champion until Pep Guardiola leaves. I think City's gonna win it every year until Pep leaves at this point.
Yeah, I mean,
they're just a machine.
I don't feel boring is not the word I would use. It's a little bit because they're still exciting to watch. They still do amazing things.
Is it boring in the sense of like the storyline behind the league? And I had this conversation with Jeff Shreves, and he was like, absolutely not. Stop saying that we're basically going to become Ligue 1 or Bundesliga. And I get that you don't accept that because you're a journalist in England, so you hear the constant drama of every team. You know, the media in England does a great job of breaking down. Every team has its own storyline. You know, Everton, the points deductions, the Sean Dyche, can he save the team, the relegation battle, new stadium opening, the owners being, you know, a potential Ponzi schemes. Like, there's so many storylines, and that's just one team. Every team has their own, and England does an incredible job of finding those storylines, carrying it throughout a season, changing it if it has to, figuring out what the drama is for each team so that you follow the sport even more intently, so that you follow the sport with even more gusto. But if you look at it from a bird's eye view, can you honestly tell me you really doubted City would win when they went on that second half of the season?
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily inherently make it boring.
But does it make that part of it boring? Does it make the title change
It makes
boring?
It predictable. But boring is not a word I would use to describe this scenario.
More people watched Liverpool's post-game than Manchester City's. Manchester City won the league.
The storyline is better. The other storylines are better than Man City winning a fourth title.
So then is that not boring? I don't think that's ever happened where the potential league winning match day, end of the season, championship Sunday, they needed to win that game in order to win the league. There was some drama and people still didn't really care.
I mean, look, I'm sure it was boring to some and many, but that's not how I felt. I think
Are you excited for next season? You think anyone else has a chance? I'm an Arsenal fan. I think Arsenal poses the best chance. Do you really think they have a chance?
Look, we hear the rumors about Kevin De Bruyne maybe being interested in going to Major League Soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Manchester City losing a couple key players, I think, opens up the title race a little bit more. But yeah, look, they have to be dethroned. They are that good. I mean, it's not just it does the one thing I can't make like that impresses me about Manchester City is that, yeah, year in, year out, they do make a couple changes. But the fact that, honestly, the player I've been most impressed with is Gvardiol.
Yeah, of course, when your center back is scoring.
When your center back, he plays as a fullback. He is a giant fullback.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like me out there,
yeah.
Right? He is a tall fullback that manages. He's clearly a converted center back. You can mm-hmm. tell in just the way he physically moves.
Yeah.
He is not like.
He's never been asked to do this at a previous level.
But how he looks perfectly fitting. He doesn't play the traditional style of. Usually fullbacks tend to be a bit shorter, mm-hmm. tend to be quick. Yeah. And he plays like a center back playing a fullback, but is laying off perfect passes, understands his positioning, understands his timing, also scoring goals, not just headers, not just on set yeah. pieces, rocketing the ball in Champions League and whatever. And that says that Pep can identify players and play them out of position and they still excel.
Yeah, Fabian Delph becoming a fullback. I mean, you've got John Stones rushing forward.
Not to cut you off, but about Gvardiol, though, he costs almost 75 million euros. Like, that's you're paying that kind of money because he's a very, you know, coming in. It's not like he's some rando that Pep Guardiola turned into a star. He was a star before he got there.
But he was a center back when he was at Leipzig, right?
Yeah, so but they, I mean, at Leipzig, you're asked to do a little more than just be a traditional center back. But yes, he exposed even more talent.
Yeah. Look, it doesn't
You got to give the guy credit, but. It just the part that bothers me is like there's a friend of mine who's a Manchester City fan, and she was like, "Oh, don't give me the 115 because Phil Foden had a great season. He's been the player of the season, and Pep Guardiola has done a good job. And look at all these other players." I'm like, the if anyone is going to bring up the charges, it's because you've been able to amass all these great players and managers. You know what I'm saying? That's right. The part. It's like, yes, you're a great cook because you got the best ingredients, but still manage to make something great. But the fact that you're all in a room is breaking a rule somewhere.
Right.
Potentially 115 of them. So, yes, at the end of the day, I'm not saying – I'm going to sound like a bitchy Arsenal fan because I'm bringing up the 115.
Mm-hmm.
But I give it credit because at the end of the day, these players still had to find a way to come together and win the game. Just because you get a bunch of great players doesn't mean you're going to win. Yes, you're the – I mean, I hate to use the word revolutionary because I don't think Pep Guardiola – revolutionized the sport. I think he evolutionized the sport. I think he moved it to the next level.
Sure.
He brought the ideas of Cruyff and obviously what happens at La Masia. And he brought all that together and found a way to institute it across three different leagues now.
Yeah.
He's great at that. I don't think he's revolutionized football. I think he's evolutionized. I think he helped it take the next step. The diorama of Cro-Magnon man to where we are today. We took another step in football because of that man. So I want to give him his flowers. But at the end of the day, like, would you have been able to do that if you really had to stick, allegedly had to stick to the actual roster rules?
Right.
Would you be able to have spend $75 million on a center back that can seamlessly go forward and look great?
Right. Look, and that's it. That those are it's a different conversation.
Yeah.
So we don't know what gets proven or not. But it is something that it's remarkable. It's incredibly impressive. And yes, people, the debate is, it's part of the.
How big is the asterisk? Because you said it's unbelievable. I agree with you. But how big is the asterisk?
Look, I'm not until anything is. Look, we've seen Everton get points deducted, and we've seen Nottingham.
That's that PTSD. He's like, hey, until it's proven.
Until it actually happens, there's no asterisk for me. Manchester City are that good.
Let's say they come out and they say that during this season in particular, there was multiple breaches of the guidelines. What does that say to you for where the season ended? Because I, as an Arsenal fan, I don't want the trophy.
Right. I'm kind of similar. Like, don't take the trophy from Manchester City. They earned it. They got all these victories. It's unbelievably impressive. They had to do it on the pitch. Yes, as an Everton fan, it is frustrating because I would also say, like, look, we had, if you didn't take those 8 points away from us, we have a pretty good season as well. We're in like 11th.
Sure.
If those points
are not. It doesn't change it. It's not like it puts you in a Europa conference.
No, but still, but it's more money for the club and it's a better opportunity to, you know, resolve whatever financial issues that they're mm-hmm. continuously going through. So I get that. I don't know the details of like why no penalties have been put on Manchester City.
That it's gonna start soon. The trial's gonna start
exactly.
Soon.
So until that happens, look, you also may not want Arsenal to win the title, but they might get it.
As far as I'm concerned, yeah. I don't really count it. Like maybe in the record books it'll say like they won in 2024. All right, good. But it's in my head, we could not.
And that's
we could not win this.
Exactly. Year. And that's the same sort of feeling I have. It's just it wouldn't feel right. You can lob the asterisk at them and you can bring it up. And even if
technically then we would have won it 2 years in a row.
Maybe. But that's the
look at us back to back champs, bro. Arsenal looking up, bro. Yo, investigate the Indiana Pacers, bro.
It must be some profit and sustainability. You know? There. How did they get Caitlin Clark?
Yo. Damn. She done cooked this at MSG.
The Fever must have done something. The Pacers must be involved. Anyway. It is unbelievable what they've managed to do. And yeah, even though the storyline is not as great as what we would have wanted. Pep is he is the greatest manager to have ever lived. I'm comfortable saying that.
It's hard to argue against
again, congrats to Manchester City.
So bringing it back, we had a great weekend in MLS and NWSL. Some crazy stuff. We had an awesome Hudson River Derby, obviously. NYCFC won. Moussa Bakar finally scores a goal. But we also had some pizza dancing in the stands at the Gotham FC game. I guess it's a New York thing. Yeah. I don't really know what's going on here.
Yeah, we got to do. So shout out to at Lone Star Striker. Who tagged us in this. But this was we usually see signs, we usually see tifos in the supporter section,
right?
But Gotham FC,
you gotta spell it out, you know, like we love you blank or
right.
Yes. Bring the points home, something like that. This was more abstract.
This was just a pizza tifo, basically.
This was what a way to honor New York, New Jersey, because they are the New Jersey, New York Gotham. Right. It's just the Lynn Williams, by the way, who broke the record for the most goals ever in NWSL.
Yes,
absolutely amazing
in all NWSL competitions. Yeah. So. Really,
that's
really
absolutely incredible.
Stuff,
yeah. 78, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely impressive. But during the game, the second most impressive thing was this right here.
we're looking at the pizza. So I figured we got to do a pizza review because that's what we do on this show and bring Alexis and his expertise.
So I want to start off by saying, look, obviously it's a painting, not a real pizza, right? Mm-hmm. We don't need to say that. But the color they chose for the edge of the crust. What beautiful. Okay, great bake.
So this is somebody, they know what they're doing.
They really know what they're doing. I'm going to give you some of the positives first.
Uh-huh.
They really know what they're doing. The bake looks good. What I'm hoping they're not doing is that thing of like the burnt cheese stuck to the edge of the crust, which I hate. Like it looks like a DiGiorno's pie.
Gotcha.
I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah, yeah.
But if this is a little overflowered in the white spaces, but a caramelized dough, I'm with it. Now let's go slightly below that. There's this beautiful thing that happens in pizza. This probably started with Joe's. Like, there's no way to give full credit to it, but Joe started this, where you get what's called a sauce skirt. So you get the cheese doesn't fully go to the edge of the crust. You get a little bit of sauce that peeks out just before. And you see that here. Very impressive. Clearly someone who eats a lot of pizza. To add that detail is very impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other positive I'll give you is if you make New York-style pizza correctly, this thing happens where the cheese and the sauce essentially become one, and they turn into this orange product. Now, that means you didn't put too much sauce, and more importantly, you didn't put too much cheese. People over cheese their pizza. When you go to the Midwest, it's like a white sheet on top because that has too much cheese. It didn't really allow to cook with some of the sauce. This has an orange color.
Yeah.
So they've actually found a way to make a really well-baked pizza. Now, here's the negatives. You've got pepperoni, not bad. Olives.
That's
pretty
was,
trash.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know where that. It kind of falls apart there with the olives.
You lost me there, buddy. And then there's these like green and red and orange specks in there, which I'm assuming the red is maybe the red pepper flakes.
Okay.
The red crushed red pepper. Awesome. What are the little green bits?
What are the green ones?
What are the green ones?
Oregano. Oregano, no? Is that not oregano?
No, because that one's a disc. One's a little disc.
It would be too big, yeah. It might be a slice of the olive. That's why I was in.
Or maybe pepper slices?
Maybe.
whatever it is, get it off the pizza. Also, oregano should only, oregano is already in a cooked sauce. And if it's a raw sauce, you don't need to add oregano to it. Although I know some pizza places like that, just a pinch, because the smell of oregano is actually the smell people most associate with pizza.
Amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
So there it is. You know, we
impressed.
Well done.
Yeah. I'd say 8 out of 10.
We take pizza seriously here on the Hooligans. But so we figured we'd give a proper.
And you know where else they do? In the stands at the Gotham game.
So respect. Please, whoever made this pizza, please send us a message. Make yourself known, because this is dope. It's also a life-size pizza. It's just about the size of a human. Okay?
Yeah, actually, for everyone who's ever been to Hoboken, this is about a Benny Tadino slice.
Okay.
This is what it looks like. Or a Cornette if you're from Uptown.
So, incredible stuff. So, shout out to Gotham. We got the win over the Red Stars this weekend. Okay, let's Hudson River Derby. We were both there.
We were there.
City Field, the first Hudson River Derby held at City Field.
Yes, the vibes were amazing.
The vibes were amazing. This place.
City I'm Field, really starting to fall in love with playing games in Queens, man.
City Field was packed. This is the most
31,000.
This is the most where it was just difficult walking through the concourse. There were just so many people in this game.
I got there I don't know how early you got there. I got there. I had a rush. I broke a lot of traffic laws on the way there from Jersey, because I went to my wife's family's house to go to my, or not the house, to my wife's family's neighborhood, the neighborhood she grew up in, to go to my nephew's communion. So as soon as it was over, I'm like, all right, hustle up with this cake. You know, I got to get home. Had to drop wifey off in Brooklyn and then drive. I had to drive because at that point, I'm like, by the time I get to the train or whatever.
There was a lot of traffic.
Yeah, so I was like, bro, let's just go, right? So I boogie there. I get parking. Luckily, I can go through an entrance that where I don't have to wait in line. Right. So. Luckily, I got there 2 minutes before the first whistle, and boom, first kick. I'm like, I walk into the suite as soon as the kick's done. Luckily, thank you, NYCFC. They gave a suite to some of the CBS folks. I gave you my other extra ticket for wifey. Boom, walk in. As soon as I walk in, whistle blows. So I'm there for the full game. But as I'm walking in, there is a sea of people outside.
Yeah, yeah.
The lines that are wrapping around the building for people to still get in through security. I don't think anyone expected this much, I guess, people to get there so late.
Because
people were getting there late, but the first whistle hadn't blown yet. There were still people waiting in line. So I'm sure, I think the stadium you could see looked a lot fuller towards the end of the first half.
Without a doubt. Yeah, there was, I saw a couple of people sort of expressing their frustration of how long it took to get inside the stadium. And I don't know if it's just that there weren't that many entrances or,
Everyone was going through the main entrance.
Right, the main entrance, I don't know. It seems to be an issue with soccer games in general. Like, I don't know. I feel like I've experienced this at several stadiums where it's just like it takes long for everybody to be processed to go in, whether it's like metal detectors and scanning their ticket or whatever. It is what it is. Hopefully when NYCFC get their own stadium in Queens, have a bunch of goddamn entrances.
Yeah. It may be part of like having to rent a stadium that's not your actual home.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't have an allowance for every stand to be open or something.
Exactly.
Or maybe like the staff that you're able to sort of get for those games don't equate to the same as what would for like a regular Mets home game.
But the game itself was a hot start. Hannes Wolf, bro.
Hannes Wolf, man.
Just a great team goal. And a lot of people have been retweeting the goal.
You posted it.
Yes. Yeah, because
you posted it as well.
I believe it was 9 or 10 of NYCFC players touched the ball in the lead up to this goal.
Started from the
keeper. Malachi Jones, who we've been talking about here and there, is looking like lockdown starter on the left.
Yes.
And even though they brought in a lot of like international talent for that spot, Malachi Jones plays with an aggression of just like, you wouldn't even think he's a rookie.
There's something worldly about the way he plays.
Yeah.
Where if you give him half an inch, he's like, I might as well take a shot on goal. And it hits the target most of the time.
Yeah,
he causes a lot of issues for right backs. He causes a lot of issues for right backs. I love the way he plays, but also he's not selfish.
Yeah.
Like, you could see in the play where he passes it off to Hannes Wolf. I'm like, oh, this kid got – City Football Group needs to be watching. Bro.
Yeah, yeah. This is a –
Where's he from? Is he from the Bronx?
No. He has an interesting story. He's from, I believe, Sierra Leone or I apologize.
Yeah, he's born in Sierra Leone.
His father passed away when he was very young. He was adopted by a family, I believe, in Tennessee. And he – he was one of eight. He has eight siblings, and all his siblings were adopted by the same family, and they were brought to Tennessee. So he grew up playing soccer. He came at a young age, but he basically became like a footballer.
You almost got a team. Eight siblings.
he became like a you know, polished footballer like in America, which mm-hmm. is got, you know, kind of sort of rare in seeing.
Yeah, I see here Tennessee SC, and then he went to New York City too.
Yeah,
which is
he
cool.
Got drafted. He got drafted. Yeah. By, in the MLS Super Draft,
which is amazing. Yeah, right? We're still finding talent in the Super Draft. I've talked down about the Super Draft multiple times, and I'm gonna stop because we keep getting great talent.
So no, he's been awesome. But the goal from Hannes Hoop, what a great play, right?
The Hezzy
was wild. There were four Red Bull players just sliding on the ground.
If a goal goes in and you got four defenders on the ground, that's not a good sign.
So it was one of the most composed performances for NYCFC, without a doubt. There was just the playing out of the back, handling the press. Mm-hmm. There weren't many mistakes. There weren't many issues.
Noah Forsberg for Red Bulls, which you could see they were deeply, deeply missing a connection between the defenders.
Yeah, he came in the second half, but he was like questionable because of an illness. Mm-hmm. But it was just a couple
Dayquil in the halftime. Like, we need you out there, bro.
Okay, we gave him a little Vivaporu, and he was good to go.
Rub that on his chest.
Okay.
Yo, could heal a broken leg. My uncle's leg broke, and they put Vivaporu on it.
But really, the highlight of the game was Muntip Bakrar scoring that game winner, and the hug of Nick Cushing.
Bro.
Oh, what a beautiful moment.
We were talking to a front office person not too long ago, and they were saying how incredible this guy is. Like, everyone's pushing for Muntip Bakrar. Everyone loves him. He's the sweetest lad was the actual term. And they were like, man, when he gets one goal, you're going to see it's just going to break open. He's just going to keep scoring buckets. So for him to get that first goal this season, just finally get one in, you saw the relief in his celebration. He's like, I did it. Yeah. I did it.
Finally.
I'm not broken.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at the photo of the hug, and it is beyond meaningful because Nick Cushing, you know, and we talked about it on the show, he defended him over and over. He kept starting
constantly.
Him, wasn't scoring, and a lot of people started asking questions after, like, the sixth or seventh game. It's like, hey, maybe you should bench this guy. Yeah. He's really not.
Which is not the worst thing because it gives you a little bit of change of scenery. It makes you think differently about the game.
Yes.
Because now you have to come in and be influential as opposed to start the game and find the game. You got to come in and find it right away. Maybe you're watching and you see something.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it helps the fact that he got those games on the bench. But in this game in particular, bro, another open shot. And it was one of those things where I'm like, oh, how's he going to miss it this time?
Right.
And he got it. And we've tried to be supportive of the guy. But when he finally got it, The celebrations in the stands were incredible.
Huge, yeah. Mijatovic got the start this time. So he came in something around like the 60th minute. And there was somebody, when we were leaving the stadium, somebody was asking me like, I was so happy that Bakrar scored. And then somebody asked like, oh, so like, you good? Like, it doesn't, you know, you're not frustrated with him? I'm like, if he scores only in derbies, he's a legend, bro. Like,
and that's the thing. You score the game winner in a derby? I mean, that's a big goal to score.
Yeah. I don't even remember him. Goal drought? Never heard of it.
Bro, what goal drought, dog?
How dare you talk about a club legend like that?
He a bucket, bro. In fact, he's busy this week because they got to figure out the statue. They got to measure him. You know what I mean?
Okay. They're doing the wax statue like Mbappe, bro.
Yeah.
They got to figure it out. But no, huge result. NYCFC now in third place, which is after the start of this season.
8 points away from the top.
Unbelievable. It's just crazy. So good. Supporter shield incoming.
Damn.
No. Just a couple other. Toronto beat Montreal 5-1, which was a walloping. Bernadeschi gets a hat trick. That was an incredible game. There was some drama also. The Revs and Union, mm-hmm. Because the early red card for the Revs. And Philadelphia Union put up a three spot on him, but people do not look happy. Literally wearing a Revs jersey.
Yeah, Caleb Porter is one of the best managers ever.
Yeah,
in MLS, one of the best head coaches in MLS. He's won an MLS Cup everywhere he went. This one's starting out a little differently.
Yeah,
though.
This is not going well.
And they got a good, roster.
There was a reporter, I believe his name is Quinlan, Tommy Quinlan, who's been, he's a beat writer for covering the Revs.
Yeah.
But some of the specifics that he's been talking about have been fascinating, because there was one about Nick Lima, the fullback for the Revs, not getting subbed off and not shaking Caleb Porter's hand.
Damn.
And he reported saying that, after the game, that Caleb Porter told Nick Lima, "Don't you dare ever walk off the." Basically, I'm paraphrasing, but don't you dare walk off the pitch without shaking my effing hand.
Yeah,
and Nick Lima was apparently upset because he was like, it wasn't intentional or whatever. But this seems to be, we're hearing this.
He's
week
also
after
the
week.
One who tweeted out that Carlos Heel and Ala Bedoya were having a conversation with Charlie Davies at halftime, complaining about the team, which. Bro, what is this guy dressed in a ghillie suit? How do you not see him? Is this guy, how's he listening to everyone's conversation? Bro, this Tommy Quinlan, is he dressed as shrubs?
Just next to you? He's peeking out of the bush like Kim Kardashian in that gif, you know?
Well, what was it, like the Inspector Gadget, the garbage can opens and you just see eyes?
No one.
How is this guy getting access to all these private conversations?
All the get more scoops than Tommy Scoops.
Damn, bro, like you're working at Baskin Robbins, bro.
So some huge results. And then also, Inter Miami winning 1-0. Which late in the game, Leo Campana comes in for Luis Suarez.
Watch the highlight of that goal. Busquets finds him over the top. The DC United backline's like, where's that ball going? Yo, there's not one of them are in the goal. So the goal shot.
Well, Campana makes a great run where he is all over the shoulder of the right center back, mm-hmm. and then goes to the positioning of the left center back.
Yeah,
and you can see the right center back being like, yo, switch, you got
grab
him.
Grab my man.
Grab my man. He just went over there. And the guy's like, who? What? Campana was in the game for, I believe, 17 seconds before the goal happened, something
and
like that.
Beautiful
and
touch.
A beautiful
touch.
A beautiful goal. But he obviously, Luis Suarez is on the team. You're the backup striker. You're not really getting that many minutes.
Yeah.
And he goes, he hops on the pitch and does that. Immediately, a huge win. So one, I mean, and DC United played well. I mean, to hold Inter Miami just even one goal.
That was what, the 95th minute?
94th. Remarkable. And then the one team I just want to make sure we highlight is RAL Salt Lake. RSL, Rocky Mountain Cup. They played against Colorado Rapids. One of the best games I think I've seen this season. This was...
RSL are a good team.
RSL were down 2-0 to Colorado and end up winning 5-3. Chicho Arango is now leading in the Golden Boot race, which
crazy.
Is like when Messi and Suarez are around, it's kind
of... Yeah, they're the other ones in the boot race.
It's remarkable that he's leading.
He's the only one under 30, right?
But then this dude, who's this guy?
Andres Gomez. The one shot he made Zach Steffen look like he was praying. He was on both knees with hands up.
He got the ball, from the corner. He volleyed the ball.
It's crazy,
hit it on the volley. It was remarkable. But he's also stupid fast.
Yeah.
And him and Chicho Arango make a great pairing. But RSL, who I believe are now top of the Western Conference, with 4 points ahead with 24 points, have looked remarkable. And I can easily see them coming out of the Western Conference.
Yeah. By the way, change your bias about you saying that they did this against Colorado. This is not a bad
Colorado
team.
Colorado's also very good.
The goalkeeper I mentioned was Zach Steffen, and they're in sixth place. This is not a bad Colorado team.
Without a doubt. Yeah,
and really took it to him in the second half.
So a wild weekend in Major League Soccer. That was a lot of fun. So we got to get to our convo with Zealand Shannon. Let's get right to it. Obviously, we're going to be talking a lot about Football Manager. We're going to talk about his new podcast with Julian Gressel of Inter Miami.
He's playing with Messi.
Exactly.
Pretty great.
You might have heard of the guy. Golden Boot.
Think you heard of him.
He might.
Yeah.
Who knows? He might win the Landon Donovan MVP. Can he carry the weight of such a name?
He's gonna have to move one of the Ballon d'Ors to just place a Landon Donovan MVP trophy right there.
Who knows what Messi's gonna be capable of this season? So let's get right to it. Here's our conversation with Zealand Shannon.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Come on, look at these guests.
Just week after week.
Bro, when we say we got guests in here, we don't just mean run-of-the-mill guests. Mm-mm. We're talking about people that have been to the Faroe Islands.
that is the one requirement. We have a couple of prerequisites before we let people in here.
We can't let your dusty ass on our show. Bro, you ain't never been to no Faroe Islands, bro.
Okay.
Point you in on a map and we'll consider it.
You only been to Fire Island? No, thank you.
Nah, fam. But enough. Invite us to the party next time.
But yes, we are joined by a Twitch streamer, YouTuber. Podcaster.
He doing everything, bro.
My man's
If you could download it, if you could stream it, he's on it.
Okay. My man works side by side with one of our favorite German Americans, Julian Gressel, the homie. But absolutely honored to have on the show Zealand Shannon, everybody. Zealand, what's up, brother?
Thank you. No, can I get you guys to introduce me every time I go on?
100%. Yes.
Okay. I also just noticed that because you're a Twitch streamer, and I just introduced you, I said, "What's up, brother?" Like, I just unconsciously sort of did that.
special team, special players, special plays.
You know how it is. Oh. That kid is taking over.
A lot of this has gone over my head.
You don't know who Sketch is?
Nah.
You've seen all the teams and players do the same thing. They go, "What's up, brother?" And they hold they point their finger up. Damn, bro, you ain't on TikTok like that, dog.
No, I'm not on TikTok like that crazy. I deleted my TikTok because I'm like, don't want to get fired from CBS. So before I get the job. So I deleted it, and now I haven't gone back on. So I haven't
got it. So you've missed out.
I missed out on the reference. But y'all both got it, and that's two-thirds of the show.
I didn't get it either. The only reason I know who Sketch is because a bunch of people that I have to interact with online, basically like Christian, are always doing that. And I Googled who he was.
Most
grandparent thing of all time.
Totally.
Like, yeah. Trying to understand who Sketch is. No, he's funny. That dude blew up.
Oh, without a doubt. He was at NFL draft day. He announced one of the draft picks for, I think, the Houston Texans, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
So you can
Twitch is on another level.
Twitch.
Is he TikTok or Twitch?
He's a Twitch streamer, but obviously very popular on TikTok as well.
Yeah, those two go hand in hand.
Yeah. But Zealand, because you're in this world as well, do you think about coming up with like a moniker,
like a catchphrase.
A catchphrase.
You gotta have
hand signal.
Because nowadays, I'm kind of thinking about it. Like,
you gotta be like, it's Zealand, bitch. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
I feel like some sort of K-pop star. Yeah. There's the flash your Z's, boys.
It's perfect. Oh my God, yeah.
Drop them Z's in the chat. Z's in the chat, Flash for Z's is like my new favorite thing.
That's free. I'm not even going to charge you for that.
No,
that's free. Okay. That's free.
A lawsuit from you in 5 years. Like, actually,
I never said
actually,
it was free.
Yeah, I took that trademark and now I sold it to you.
I never said that was free.
So Zealand, make everybody go subscribe to Zealand.
Why is Kevin Egan's video still up?
That was the video that we watched when Kevin Egan was here. But go follow Zealand, Zealandon.
The Zealandon YouTube.
YouTube, I guess.
The Zealandon
is how you were thinking. Yeah, like,
Zealandon.
But go give him a subscribe and follow. But look, I want to talk about your journey and your career because I know you started with Football Manager.
I did. Yeah.
I want to play Football Manager so bad.
Why?
Because I'm big into tactics and all that stuff. And then every once in a while I'll download it and I'm like, this is homework. This isn't a game.
Yep.
This is so much. Why am I setting up training? You know?
Well, yeah, you don't even play the game, dude. It's just a job. You show up, you clock in. You do some transfers, you scout. I'll spend like 2 hours in the Argentinian youth academies. Like the FBI is totally knocking on my door from the Google search. Now I'm not even kidding. You're up there. You're like best 15-year-olds in Colombia. It's not okay. And they're about to add women to the game next year.
Oh boy. Creepazoid.
No, but you're just trying to find the wonder kids, man. And sometimes they're.
We're gonna ask our editor to clip this one considerably.
No, because there's a meme that goes around. I don't even know if this is appropriate for the podcast.
Go for it.
In the depths of Football Manager Reddit, like you goalkeeper that like in goalkeeper position, there's an attribute called like ball handling, basically.
Yeah, you can tell
where this is going.
Yeah, of course.
You add that to the Google search, this is where you end up on every watch list
right,
ever.
Ball but, handling you know, 12-year-old. There's a guy in a van going, I too want to know what that is. Chris Hansen's like, all right, we gotta go to Zealand now.
Outside of the watch list, Football Manager, great game. Yeah, I recommend.
It's like where they found like Freddie Adu was like a beast on there. Remember the kid? I think it was like Blackburn's owner's son was like, you got to sign this Lionel Messi. You know, I play on this game. I feel like I want to be a part of it. But then when I watch your content, I'm like, I want nothing to do with this game.
It's stupidly complicated. But the database is actually one of the, like a lot of clubs will pay for early access to the database. So they scout, I don't know if you know this, there's 495,000 players in the game. Mm-hmm. Like, players that are scouted, put in. These are real people. Yeah, real people.
These are so real 18-year-olds that are hot on the scene, about to go to the first team. They're on there.
Well, yeah, I mean, not all of them. A lot, I do videos where it's like the worst person in the entire game, and it's literally some 45-year-old dude in the second division in Singapore. He's there. He's in the game, which is sick. He's cooler than me. He's in a video game. But they find a lot of these wonder kids first because they are scouting everywhere. Like, there'll be some kid in Uzbekistan, and the first news that you get that he might be something at all is Football Manager gives him a high potential ability. And so that's always cool because you always know who the wonder kids are like 2 years before everybody else does.
Right.
Everybody else is trying to act slick like they knew who they were the whole time. When he was 16, I knew who this guy
was. Were you up on Cavan? What's his last name?
He can't even be in the game. Like legally, you have to be 16 to be in the game. So Cavan is one of those rare, like, I mean, Cavan's a freak.
Yeah.
Have you watched his highlights?
Bro, he looks like a 25-year-old out there. This guy's got blonde hair.
You got to be concerned about the Football Manager like addicts that are like, we got to lower the age.
You can't. Yeah. I need my 10-year-olds in there, you know?
Yeah, scouting the U9s. It's
getting a little crazy.
He's left-footed from Des Moines.
But I haven't played the game. It's almost like, is it a game, right?
It's like a database that has a game in it.
It's spreadsheet simulator.
Yeah.
Right. Because you don't actually control the players.
No. You control the decision. So I started making tutorials for this game because I got really good at it during college. Because I actually had
You was partying in college, huh?
I was playing it in lectures. Yeah. That's when I was playing
because at night there was too many parties.
I may have had at least two beers. It was crazy. I got really good at the game, but the reason I started playing it was because I had a reconstructive knee surgery, my left knee. And so I was high off of my ass on Oxy for like 4 days.
Wow.
As one must.
Yeah, yeah. Post Malone.
He's like, that's before the accident.
I ended up hurting the knee in the first place. So I had FIFA career mode and wall high. Like, I actually don't even remember the save, but I remember the moment that I like came to and was like, what have I done? I won the Champions League with a team from the second division in Italy in 4 years without playing a match, like just managing like the transfers. Because that's what I'd always done. I hated Ultimate Team, right? It was scummy. And I just, I didn't want to be a 12-year-old like spending all the money on my mom's credit card. So I played career mode. And that's when I realized FIFA was too easy. So my friend was like, hey, you should check out Football Manager. It's like FIFA career mode, but on crack. And I was like, well, say no more. I'm in.
You're like, I'm already on Oxy.
Already a natural progression at this point. Pretty sure.
What are the pills you got?
He's scratching.
I'm just speed running the entire opioid crisis. And so I jumped into it like both feet and just got really addicted. I do remember I lost... I bottled European play like with West Ham. I finished like eighth, you know, just outside of Europe.
Right, right.
Then I punted my trash can across the room, and my girlfriend was looking at me like, what the fuck
wrong with you? Not a virtual trash can.
This is a real trash can.
You're in a suit. You're in a suit because you're watching the play. You're like, I can't do this anymore.
Who was the manager for Juve? Allegri, like flipped out when they won.
He was like ripping his jacket off. He like thumbs
won,
up.
Won the game 1-0, and he still acted in such a heinous way that he got fired.
You got fired the day after winning a trophy because of the way you acted while winning that trophy.
So surreal. But Football Manager is, from my understanding, also an incredibly addictive game. I saw the video that you did. Run the Transfer Market, I believe. That's the guy's channel.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's Nick Run. Look, I don't know FIFA stuff too well, but it's RTFM, like Run the Foot Market.
Yeah, and I've watched a lot of his videos, and I'm a Ultimate Team player that does not spend any money on the game. So okay. I do my best to...
That must be hard for you.
It's nearly impossible.
It's not built for players like you.
Exactly. No. So I have to be good at the game without... buying the best players or trying to get like the best cards and stuff like that. Right. So it was interesting watching that video with him because he is, to me, an Ultimate Team just psychopath. He's just he literally focuses on not only just like trying to get like good players and knowing all the stats, but he's like focusing very specifically on how and the timing of when to get the players and when to buy the packs and whatever. He seems to know like whatever algorithm that you have.
He's deep in the algorithm.
It's crazy. But he did a video of starting a Football Manager game, and you were sort of analyzing that video, and it was interesting. Seeing someone who is a FIFA, at least an Ultimate Team sort of expert, get into this whole new experience and almost be intimidated by it. You know what I mean?
Like, because it's not really like video game-ish. You know what I mean?
Right, right. It requires a different level of expertise.
It requires time. The problem with Football Manager is the first like 8 times I opened it, I just closed it too. Because there's so much information that you feel like you can't actually play the game at all without knowing a whole bunch of different stuff. Right, right,
right. Because I feel like the first time I play FIFA, a new one comes out, the first thing I do is like go to like one of the quick games.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I got to play a game. Now mm-hmm. I'll learn the ins and outs. This thing is like, you're at 101 level. You get in, they're like, set up these 48 things. And you're like, who set this up? The government? Why is this like this?
You feel like you have to write code or something.
Yes. Right. You know, I've applied for, healthcare, and it was easier than this.
My wife's like, why are you stressed? I'm picking the food for the team. Is this too many carbs? I want to play pressing. I don't know.
That's important because he actually, you talk about Nick, he had one of his players get food poisoning the night before the Champions League. Final.
This
I'm straight
is,
out, straight out.
Is this necessary in the game? Do we need that?
That level. First of all, that's just the game screwing you over.
Oh my god, yeah.
Your striker came down with COVID. He didn't get the Fauci ouchie. Right. Like, bro, why are you getting so specific?
Dysentery. What was he doing?
I thought we solved this problem before.
Yeah. We fixed this in Oregon Trail. Damn. Why are we still doing this?
Man, my goalkeeper got scurvy. What do I do? Is it citrus?
Can the GM fix this?
Just like polio?
I feel like I got the wrong year. Is this 2024?
I bought the iron lungs and you hop in, you're good.
It is remarkable, but it's fun just watching you figure that out, and I have to give the game a try because
we should do a series where we do it.
I mean, okay, we're going to need a lot of coaching and help, I think.
Yeah, or maybe we compete with each other, so we don't have to stand in front of the same computer and yell at each other about you wanting to play Sean Dyche tactics.
You can do a network save where, like, the two of you could manage, like, I don't know, you could be Real Madrid, you could be Barcelona, and see who did better.
Ooh. Oh, okay, I kind
of
like that.
Okay, he's going to help me out. You got to find somebody to help you out. Okay. But I think the real secret of how much of a sicko Football Manager you are, I don't know if it's still the same, is... how long the matches take, and do you watch them?
So the real sickos watch full match. You can watch
90
the
minutes.
Entire match.
Wow.
Normal speed, if you want to. I watch extended highlights. A match will take like 10, 15 minutes. So that's
even nice. That's still quite a contribution.
It'll simulate and whatever. It was not too much longer than like a FIFA match, but Football Manager is a game for sickos. It's for people that are obsessed with the game. And me being American while doing that makes everybody uncomfortable.
How upset do the Europeans get that you're talking about this with your accent? Because I can tell you the comments we get.
I've always gotten all the same. I remember I started streaming on Twitch. I would stream Football Manager like to four people when I was in my dorm room. And some guy came in, he was like, you really got to stop calling it soccer or else you're never going to make it. Nobody's ever going to take you seriously. So I continue to say the word soccer specifically for that one. I don't really care. I always try and impress on people. I'm like, I'll call it football. It doesn't really bother me. But you run into all that. I get called Yank all the time.
Yeah, that's a big
which is almost weird to me because I grew up in a part of the country where that was a bad word for a different reason. That was like, oh, you're like a northerner.
What are you, part of the union army?
How dare you call me that?
So like the first couple of times somebody English would call me a Yankee, I was like, well, hold on. Oh, I know. Okay. But I
have not won 27 championships. Oh, you're
You're like, I actually hate that team. Just being American, I'm basically the only one that does it, I think, full time. At least makes anything around Football Manager, because Football Manager is like the highest level. Like FIFA is one thing, right? It's more of a video game, but Football Manager is this kind of soccer holy grail.
It's a community. It's a lifestyle.
And the biggest YouTuber for it is American, and that is hilarious. I think at this point, a lot of people have kind of gotten over it, but I still get comments like, "Oh, it's just uncomfortable being." Like having somebody explain tactics in American accents.
They're like, I just hear Jesse Marsh. And I'm like, no, I don't want that.
Oh, my God.
I'll just dress up as Ted Lasso to get more comfortable.
Don't call it a road game.
I know for us, working in this space and as comics in this space, and we've gotten to do some like really, really amazing things and travel to really like cool places. I met people we never thought we would ever come across. Working with Football Manager and doing that, what's like the coolest thing that has happened that you were like, wow, if I didn't start streaming Football Manager, this thing probably wouldn't have happened?
I mean, everything. I mean, I think I didn't grow up wanting to be a YouTuber or like wanting to be a content. I feel like everybody does now. You know, if you talk to a little 8-year-old.
Yeah, my nephew was like, I want to be a YouTuber. I'm not a job, dog.
Meanwhile, we're on YouTube.
No, that's why I feel bad, because I have a bunch of little cousins too, and they're like, I want to do what you do. And I was like, I don't even know how I got here. I kind of fell backwards into it. I didn't really watch a lot of YouTube, but I think the coolest experience was I went to a Wales game. So we did this like traveling road tour where we went to three international games in 3 days in the UK and just made videos out of all of them. We never really tried something like that before. Sometimes you just make a video just to see if it's good. And sometimes it comes. And this one came out pretty good. And it was Wales against Poland. And it still is weird to me when these sorts of things happen. But I had a friend who was on the Wales national team. He played Football Manager and DM'd me and needed help with like installing a face pack or something. So I'm FaceTiming this guy and he's over here like, oh yeah, I'm trying to like open this file. I'm like, are you real? He was a Man City loanee at the time. His name's Matt Smith. And he was basically like, oh, he just swing by back the stadium after the game, whatever. So I watched this whole match, like Lewandowski against Bale in the Nations League, whatever.
That's awesome.
And I go to the back thing and he comes out and he like gives the security guard the thumbs up and I can like step through all of the fans and he hands me his sweaty jersey. And I look at him, I'm like, dude, I forgot. Was I supposed to bring you something?
I forgot my sweaty jersey.
I'm like, I'm starting to take my shirt off. And he's like, no, man, it's cool. I just really appreciated like, all the videos, your help, and I'll catch you soon. And he just goes and gets on the bus and like daps up Gareth Bale. I'm like, this is bizarre.
That's crazy.
Weird.
Yeah.
Just from, I mean, because most of the time, this job, as I'm sure you guys can attest, I'm just sitting in sweatpants talking to someone about something, and then all of a sudden it just becomes very physically real. There's somebody on the other side of it, like Terrence Boyd. You remember Terrence Boyd,
course,
U.S. national team? I got a DM from him where he was just saying, "Oh, I love the videos or whatever." And I FaceTimed him. So I'm, "Oh, this is sick." Like, I used to play with Terrence Boyd on FIFA, and I call him, and he just goes, "Oh, sorry, I didn't know it was actually going to be you." And I was like, "What do you mean?" Oh, he's like, God, "I'm just really nervous to talk to you." Like, you're nervous to talk to me.
Yeah.
You play.
One of us has a cap with the national team.
I watched you slide tackle on Grant Pirlo, and you're nervous to talk to me, bro.
I know
my forehead looks good, but I don't know.
Yeah. There's been times where we've talked to people and we introduce ourselves to everyone. You know, we're like, oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. We do a show, we're comedians, blah, blah. And there was one player in particular who was like, let us do the whole thing. Goes, I know who you guys are. I like the show. I was like, you do?
Yeah.
I was like, oh my god.
I do. Well, we wouldn't have gone through all that if you knew. Yeah, if you knew who we were.
All right,
I guess
we'll take the easel down now that you know who we are.
But no, that's awesome, man. It's great to see. And then now you're also working with like our dear friend, who is also another guy who we did not. It's also because of this show. It's weird to be like, yeah, Julian Gressel is a friend, but we have totally befriended him while he was in Atlanta United. We did a live show, and it was his first year, mm-hmm. and we had him, and he was incredibly nice. Him and his then girlfriend, now wife, came to the live show in Atlanta at Argosy. It was such a great time, and it was like one of these things where. While we were there, we were like, given that we're from New York, we're NYCFC fans, like, oh, is this going to be, a warm environment? And it was just like, it was perfect. There was a lot of banter. They were sort of making fun of the games that they've had between each other. But you are now working with Julian Gressel on the Player Manager podcast, which is an awesome and a great sort of. Two perspectives, especially a football manager expert. And
great
and
screen then, cap, by the way.
And then,
I'm pretty sure they always make sure Julian looks great in those pictures, and they're just like, whatever face anyone's making.
They just wait for you to step on a Lego. What happened?
Yeah, they got perfect. This is YouTube thumbnail face right here that you have right there. And then, and Julian Gressel, who is now at Inter Miami and playing. With obviously
you are weekly one step away from Messi. Isn't that crazy?
I and that makes me better than everyone. That's the coolest thing about me. I can't believe how cool it is what he's going through, and the fact that I'm the person that he just kind of gets to decompress with after every week.
That's so
where he'll
dope.
Just start talking about, oh yeah, I dapped up Lionel Messi. And if I had heard anybody say that sentence to me 4 months ago, I would have been like,
yeah.
But now,
let me smell your hair.
But it actually blows my mind. I don't know if you guys. So we've done this 8 episodes maybe of the podcast. We're still just getting started with the first episode we did. He talked about the tour in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And he talked about how Lionel Messi had come up to him and spoken English before a free kick. He doesn't speak English well, right? Which is why he's uncomfortable speaking it publicly.
Yeah.
But he speaks it well enough that to a teammate, he can go, hey, Julian, you stay. This guy, Jordy goes.
Yeah.
And then he comes back to Julian and he goes, English isn't bad.
Something like that. Like, hey, it's not bad.
He hasn't taken the free kick yet. Yeah. He's like, hey, well, just a couple lessons in Duolingo.
Right?
I've got a streak going.
I hate that fucking owl, but it works. It's just a full conversation with Julian.
No, but that happened. And then we do the podcast. And this was a demo recording. It was our first. This was essentially a recording that we did.
For like a chemistry.
Yeah, it was to make sure everything worked. It was to send to different podcast networks or whatever and say, hey, here's the proof of concept. This is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And still, it got picked up by every major soccer news outlet. The 443, I saw it 5 different times on Twitter in an hour.
I think we talked about it on Morning Footy, honestly.
It was it was unbelievable to me. And then I finally understood why people like Messi almost never talk. I'm like, this was nothing. Even to Julian, he was, this was just this cool little story.
Yeah.
And it just blows up to
But this.
But
this is something I think even kind of bigger and probably something that isn't necessarily highlighted. There has, in my memory, there has never been anybody that played with Messi that is also documenting their experience playing with Messi.
Right.
Like weekly. Yep. And this is, insider stuff that people are absolutely obsessed with. Lionel Messi is
knowing anything about him.
Not only just like a god, but like he is so fascinating to a lot of people because, again, he doesn't do too many interviews. He doesn't, even the ones that he does in Spanish, we speak Spanish and I'm never like blown away by anything that he says.
He's good at not saying much or revealing too much. He loves his privacy.
Yeah.
But remember with the Publix, the shopping cart, people broke down how much cereal. Is it okay to eat this much cereal? Well, if Messi's
eating
this much cereal.
They were doing tactical heat maps and what aisle he was in.
Is it in Football Manager now? Do you play better if you go to Publix?
Oh, my God. No, I remember Julian was talking about that, and he's talking about how Messi actually probably picked the United States because he could do a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Basically anywhere else in the world, he can't do any of that.
Nowhere.
At least in Miami, it's a little, you know, if he was in Idaho, it'd probably be a little easier to walk around, but he can get away with being in public a little bit before it all hits the fan. But even with the Publix thing, he had to go wait in the car.
Yeah.
Apparently, people started to swarm them, so he went and waited in the car for his family to come out with all this stuff. Just a weird life. What I've learned, I think, the most from talking to Julian about him is, one, Messi seems like a really genuine guy. Almost like quiet to the point of being awkward. Mm-hmm. And so I try to walk this really interesting tightrope where I want to ask Julian all these questions because I'm interested the same way everybody else is about, you know, Messi just scored 5 goals. What's he like in the dressing room? Or he'll talk about, oh, people are dancing in the dressing room. I'm like, well, is Messi dancing?
Right.
But you also want to
make
sure. That's
Messi twerk. Yeah. What's
his thing? Is it all shoulders or he gets the hips involved?
Yeah, I'm thinking if you've ever seen the movie Hitch where he just arms right here.
A little two-step.
He's got that going on. But you also want to try and protect Julian because Julian starts basically every game for the Miami. Yeah. They play kind of on the same side. So Julian and Messi have a very special relationship, I'd say, when it comes to the playing sense, and they seem to really get along, so I also don't want to torpedo that.
Yeah.
So we're always kind of checking, hey, did you hear anything from Messi's camp about that story you told? Like, we don't want to try not to step on anybody's toes. Because Lionel Messi has an operation, right?
Yeah,
it's all of those guys have to have.
Brand Messi is a big corporation.
Yes, there's a big corporation in front of the man, and Julian's just very lucky to get to know the man, and I'm lucky to get to talk about it.
Yeah, Team Julian is more like, it's a bodega. It's two people and a cat, you know? There's no shame being thrown there whatsoever. That is a significant operation compared to what we're doing.
It's a startup, right? Yeah, but he's figuring it out.
He got funding. He's good for right now. Messi is a monolith. It's Apple Incorporated.
But even Julian's been on the show several times. And every week I'm like, I'm like truly so happy and proud, and I can see how happy he is on the field. And
or like when one of them daps you up, like Busquets or Messi, you're like, me, little me?
Julian
from
Germany? We met Julian while he was in Atlanta. He got traded to DC United in a he didn't really want to leave, but because of MLS, you know, salaries and stuff like that, they had to move him. He ended up in D.C., I believe he bought a home or something. He got settled.
He thought he was settled there. Then he goes to Vancouver.
Then he gets traded without notice to Vancouver. You can tell he's not really happy about that. He had just had his first kid. And so I've been following his career. And then in Vancouver, I think it was, you know, it's probably not, it's not where he wanted to end up. He ends up going to Columbus, winning an MLS Cup. Huge. So happy for him.
Second MLS Cup.
This personal part of his life where I'm like, I know that he wants to like settle with his family. He has 2 kids. Oh, he's now playing for the U.S. men's national team. There's a lot of like transition and change in his life. And then he goes to Inter Miami while Messi is there.
With his old coach.
I'm like, I just see him so happy and proud of just like where his life is at the moment that it makes me so happy when he's like, has he scored yet this season?
No.
He's had him, right? And he's had a couple of decent chances that he hasn't been able to put away.
He's
and
got
that,
a lot of assists.
Yes.
He's doing that well. But
and I'm waiting for that moment so he can get that to celebrate that.
I'm starting to really give him some. I'm giving it to him. But nice. Yeah, in fact, he hasn't scored yet. He's trying to plan out his first celebration. But he's just the most reprehensibly nice guy ever. I remember we're doing the thing, first episode of the podcast, so I'll explain who you are. He's like, well, first and foremost, you know, I'm a family man. I've got 2 kids, love my wife. I'm like, dude, that's great, but like, we also need to talk about like who you are.
That's
not why you're on the show.
I love it. It's awesome, but like, we've got to talk about.
Like
we've got to talk about
TV
the game.
Dad.
He is. And I mean this honestly, one of the nicest people on the face of the earth. And just idyllic, you know. Oh, the worst part about the long road trip for him is he doesn't get to see his kids and see his wife. And he is just an incredible human being. So I wish all the great things for him. And I think even the MLS Cup in Columbus, he wasn't necessarily playing as much as he probably wanted to. So I think this is just the ideal world. He's a workhorse. He's playing. He's like the only guy that started every game.
He's the only one not getting injured.
I was going to say, exactly. When your center back got gray hair, you're going to be called in a lot. But I guess what I like about him, too, is when we met him, he was a rookie. And we're like, oh, this is going to be gone. This nice guy act is going to be good. Right. And it hasn't.
It hasn't gone.
He's always been that guy, so I'm really happy for him.
Yeah. Do you guys talk much about the experiences with the U.S. men's national team? I mean, I've seen him do interviews and stuff, and I can sense the real level of pride in getting to represent the U.S. But like,
actually, that adopted him essentially.
Did he? Oh, I mean, I know the thing. The lineup came out, but he didn't get called in. To this roster. But his experience is that, you know, I don't know how much of a behind the scenes you can give us, but just your conversations with him about the U.S. men's national team. What have those been like?
I asked him about it because it's something that. I always phrase it, I'm like the front line of Americans everywhere for all these people that watch the stream, basically. I'm, for a lot of them, the only American that they're actually able to interact with way and like ask questions about. And so one of the most common things that gets talked about is the U.S. national team is very diverse. I mean, not just diverse in like what it looks like, it's diverse in where the people were born. I mean, you have Serginho Dest, you have especially guys like John Brooks, Fabian Johnson that had come through, and there's a large American diaspora that ends up being a part of the national team, and Julian's a part of that. So I just straight up asked him. I wasn't necessarily like, how American do you feel, but what are your thoughts on, you know, you were born in Germany and you played for the U.S. national team. How did that feel to pull a shirt on for the first time? And he gave a really eloquent answer about it where, you know, I am German, but also this is the country where I've kind of grown up, that I owe everything to the U.S.
Went to college.
And, you know, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think he was saying, you know, kind of teared up a little bit the first time he pulled the shirt on. It's like, I am here. You know, he's replaying those moments when he was 16 in Germany and somebody told him he was never going to make it. Right. And now he's playing for a national team of this nation that, and the other way he worded it, he's like, look, I might be German and American, but my wife is just American and my kids are just American. So I'm playing for, you know, everybody in my family except for me is American. His kids can't even speak German. He's trying.
They're just like, dad has an interesting accent. I don't know what state he comes from, but he's American to me.
I don't know why he's always getting phlegm out of his mouth. Like, no, that's him saying, good morning, I love you.
No, man.
Guten Morgen.
Right. Why is dad trying to march into Poland? So that's not necessary.
It's not necessary, but you know what it is.
Sorry, man. Julian, for watching Germany jokes.
Okay, that happened. Right. Zealand, this has been the absolute best, man. Thank you so much for
Well, let people know the YouTube channel. You don't just do Football Manager stuff.
No. I make traveling kind of soccer videos, general interest soccer stories, like about a lone fan that ended up saving his club in Brazil. Or
you've all seen the meme. You did a whole thing on it. The kid sitting by himself in an away game.
That's actually the most viewed video we've ever done.
That's beautiful.
So one right there that says alone. But it's about, the guy who's the only person at an away match, and they elected him the president of the club, and he actually got them promoted back into that league. It's a crazy
that's
story.
Badass.
We go to different places like the Faroe Islands to tell different stories. We went to I ate whale. We were there for a week. I got seasick. It was all the good stuff that you'd love to see in a video. But hopefully something on there that you find interesting. But I had a great time, guys.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, make sure you go check out the Player Manager podcast alongside Julian Gressel. We'll wrap up. You had tagged us in this tweet. I guess this came up in the conversation. I didn't get a chance to listen to the episode, but apparently tuna on pizza is some sort of delicacy in Germany.
Google German pizza tuna real quick so you can see what a photo of this looks like. Okay. For everyone who thinks, well, this must be really high-end, high-quality ingredients.
It's not.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
It's tuna fish pizza with as much phlegm as you can get.
Tuna fish pizza.
Okay, I mean, we see it there, and it's just not...
Click on images, though. It gets horrific.
Okay.
It's canned tuna. It's canned tuna on pizza, and apparently it's one of the most popular toppings.
Now, just look at the state of the pizza itself.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's not great. The one on the left isn't terrible looking, but... not a great thing. So, look, German palates are still, you know, in reparations form. You know, they're still paying.
There's still these are war crimes that they have to pay for. Yeah.
This is all part of the, what is that? What is it called in Catholicism? Penance? It's still penance for previous crimes. Look, I've been to Germany many times. I think there's other things that could go on pizza, but tuna on pizza to me is a real... Like, sometimes there's a mayo-based sauce attached to it. It's onions, tuna, and mayo. Sometimes they put black olives, as you can see here on the left.
Yeah.
All of the things I've said, great, and do not belong, individually, do not belong on pizza.
Right. I mean,
it's horrific.
Zealand, I don't know how much of you know about Alexis's pizza expertise, but it is... It's, I mean, he's a basically a pizza sommelier.
It's pretty significant. I made those, but
yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, no, I invented it myself.
Print up certificate. Yeah, it looks great on the wall. Everybody asks. Yeah.
Business cards. Yeah.
okay. Oh, excuse me. It's a little pizza slice. Excuse me. Can I see what wood you're burning in your oven?
So he does this stuff. So yeah, this is. Sure. I mean, this is. Yeah. We didn't respond necessarily on Twitter. I had commented like basically that this is gross, but this is the official response.
Okay.
It's
gross.
The official is gross.
Okay. You get three gross thumbs up.
This is bad. And I've eaten it.
Oh.
It's not great.
Wow. Did you save that? We just talked about it for 5 minutes. You saved the fact that you've eaten tuna fish pizza to the very end of that.
Because I was gonna give more of a breakdown of the flavors themselves. It's bland. It's like, it's, you know how like England all food is gray? This is like, it's salty tuna on top of an unbaked bad dough pizza. It's just bad. The cheese is probably the best part of it. And maybe the onions if it's caramelized well. But sometimes they put the red onions, the red onions, which is fine because it gives you like a pop. But you're like, bro, you made tuna salad and you shoved it on top of pizza. This is not good.
Okay.
See the red onions? Yeah. See what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Also, don't ever go to Helgoland. It's a small island off of Germany. It stinks.
Okay.
I just try to avoid Helgas in general. No offense.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Zealand, thank you again. Make sure you go follow Zealand on the subscribe, on Instagram, Twitter. Follow Player Manager Pod as well on all socials. Zealand, thank you so much for hanging out with us. As always, make sure you subscribe to our stuff, our YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button. Follow us at Soccer Cooling. It's on all socials.
Give this guy a follow as well.
Do the whole thing.
After you do that, click
if
over
you,
to ours.
If you want to.
Okay, yeah. Okay. All right.
Oh, no, we're demanding.
And if you love Zealand, make sure, just know that he completely co-signs us and loves
everything
that we
we've ever said.
So he's recommending that you subscribe to us.
That feels dangerous, but I'll go ahead and admit to that. Yes.
Also, remember Julian Gressel was about to take that free kick and Messi leaned over and said, do you also listen to the cool ones?
I was so impressed. Wow, your English is amazing and your podcast choices are immaculate.
Your sense of humor is pretty great.
are crushing it, Leonel. All right, we'll be back on Thursday with a brand new episode. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We'll see you then, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.